study guide or an outline for this evening, raise your hand and one of our ushers would bring it around to you. Hosea chapter number 10. We are going to be going after this mini message. We're going to be having a season of prayer for revival, just like we do at an old-fashioned cottage prayer meeting like we had several years ago. But because of the scheduling of the ladies' Bible study and the class tomorrow, that this would be the best night for us to do that. So we're going to have an old-fashioned cottage prayer meeting in just a few moments. As we look here in Hosea chapter number 10, if you can't find Hosea, find the book of Daniel and look right, and you'll find the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter number 10. We're going to look at just one verse as we think along this thought in just a few moments of prayer that brings revival. Now, as we go through this outline, this is not a typical kind of message that we dump a lot of information to you. We're just going to speak about these different ways that we need to pray heading toward a revival, just one or two thoughts. And the idea really would be this, that you take this study guide home and during your quiet time, during your time that you have with the Lord, you would go through each of these. There's some questions that you can ask yourself, and then there's application to it. So I encourage you to work through that as well, and I know it would be a blessing to you as we prepare our hearts for revival tonight. Although our revival meeting doesn't officially start until Sunday, I would have to say we had a great pre-revival meeting on Sunday, amen? And he came and preached the Word of God, and it was just wonderful. In fact, I got so much out of it myself. I called my son, and I simply said this. I said, hey, he preached a new message I never heard before, amen? Sometimes, you know, evangelists, you know, after several years or so, I've been in Pennsylvania, West Virginia, different places. You might hear a message or two. You go to another church, and this year they're preaching like 15 different messages, and you might hear the same one again. And I called my son up and said, man, you got to go online and hear this message. It's a brand new one, at least the first time I heard it. And he really enjoyed it as well. And the truth is, some people are more excited about revival than other people. And for those who aren't excited for revival, understand this, that there's going to come a day when you wish you were excited for revival, that you had taken the time to do the study guide and prepare your heart for what God wants to do during the revival meeting. I think if we want to see a genuine revival here at Sharon Baptist Church, it only can be preceded by genuine prayer. Living a life without prayer is kind of like walking into the Grand Canyon in the middle of the night without a flashlight or a backpack, and it just should not be done. Just as you wouldn't hike in the desert without having lots of water, you and I need to make sure that we're not living a life without prayer. And I think one of the greatest neglects of Christianity today is that we don't pray enough. We might read our Bible, but something about this matter of prayer, because prayer is hard work. It takes concentration. It takes time. And I think that we need to be here at Sharon Baptist Church a children of prayer. When people really learn how to pray, we find that their soul is going to be enlarged. And we find their passion for the Lord Jesus Christ, and particularly as we think about revival, when we genuinely learn to pray, that we are going to have an increase in our passion for the Lord, an increase in the desire for revival to come to our heart. Hosea chapter number 10 and verse number 12 reveals some great truths for the believer. Let's read that and then we'll have a word of prayer. Hosea chapter 10, beginning in verse 12. Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today, Lord. We pray, Father, as we think about this idea of prayer this evening. We pray, Father, that we'll learn about the type of prayer that's going to bring revival to our hearts. And Father, as revival comes to our hearts, revival will come to Sharon Baptist Church. As Sharon Baptist Church get revived, Hampton, Newport News, Yorktown, and every place around here, Father, Pocosin, are going to experience revival as a result. So, Father, would you work in our hearts and lives this very evening, and in the days to come till our revival on Easter Sunday. We pray and ask these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you go ahead and fill in the blanks, notice first of all, the preparation for prayer. The preparation for prayer. Notice those words break up. Prayer begins with a heart and mind that has been softened and planted with the Word of God. Breaking up the soil of our hearts refers to a personal commitment to confession and repentance. You see, here's the truth of the matter. Our heart can never be softened. Our heart can never be planted with the Word of God until we have made that serious effort to confess our own sinfulness to God. And confessing that sinfulness and then repenting of that. In other words, telling God, hey, I am sorry for what I have done. And because I'm so sorry for what I've done, I'm going to turn from what I was doing to not doing that any longer. And I think so many times in our prayer, we don't experience that. What we do is we don't break up that fallow ground. And we just lift our prayers up to God and press on, understanding this, though, that if our heart is going to have genuine prayer, it's only going to come because we prepared for prayer with confession and repentance. But then realize something else. There is always going to be, number two, the hindrance of prayer, the hindrance of prayer. Notice the wording in Hosea chapter 10. The Bible says fallow grounds. The condition of our heart determines our growth. It determines our fruitfulness and our destinies in God. And the truth of the matter is this, even as different soil conditions of the physical soil, so there are different heart conditions that must be discerned to bring forth fruitfulness in our spiritual lives. Now, most of you are familiar with the parable of the sower and the seed in Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through verse number 29. As we look at that soil for that, we see, first of all, there's soil that hears but don't understand, and the devil snatches it away. Then there's those that lands on the stony places that hear but do not take root. And then we have this idea of those that fall upon the thorns. And that makes reference to the cares of this life begin to choke out all God's Word does in our life. But thank God there is some good ground and good soil. The Bible says they heareth and understandeth and bears fruit. Bears fruit 100 times, 60 times, and then even 30 times. And so as we think about this hindrance of prayer is fallow ground in our life. So the question we have to ask ourselves is simply this. What kind of soil is your heart? Is it, do you just hear and you don't understand? Do you have stony places? You hear it, but it begins to grow, but then it doesn't take root. Is there thorns because the cares of this life choke it out? Or maybe you have some good soil and God's Word is received and understood and you are bearing fruit. So the hindrance to prayer is fallow ground. But then notice thirdly, notice the urgency of prayer. When is the time to pray? Well, the Bible tells it, for it is time. Guess what? We live in the glorious now of God's working in our life. I'm going to repeat that. We live in the now of God's glorious working in our life. Oh, the time serves that we serve here for God. He works in and through us as His faithful followers. Listen, you can't count on yesterday because that's already gone. You can't count on tomorrow because we might not be here tomorrow. So what do we have? We live in the glorious now. The urgency of prayer is right now. How many times have we done this? Somebody says something. David says, you know, would you pray for my son-in-law? He needs a job. He got laid off at Amazon. And we say, yeah, I'll pray for him. But then we never pray for him. And then a couple weeks go by and you forget all about it. He stands up and he says, well, glory to God, my son-in-law got a job and it's this and this and it's even better than what he had before. And God smites our heart and says, you know what? It's not because of you. You said you were going to pray, but you didn't pray. And if we want to have an effective prayer, understand the urgency of our prayer is now. Now is the time that we need to pray. And we understand, fourthly, notice the focus of prayer. What is the focus of our prayer? Quite simply, the Bible says to seek the Lord. It's time for you and I to seek the Lord. Seeking prayer is a earnest, continual. I use this word perseverance, born from a deep hunger and a drive to communicate with God. Let me ask you this. Is the focus of your prayer to seek the Lord, or is it just to lift off some requests on behalf of somebody else? There's nothing wrong with intercessory prayer. I think we ought to have intercessory prayer for others. But listen, the idea and the focus of our prayer is not that. It's to seek the Lord. Seeking prayer that is oftentimes initiated by the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been like driving down the road and God, through the Holy Spirit, puts someone on your heart and immediately you have this urge to pray for them and begin to pray for them and it just came out of nowhere? Listen, that is God seeking you to pray, being initiated by the Holy Spirit. And through intercession, God aligns His will with your will and you receive God's answers. So the focus on our prayers is to seek the Lord. What's the focus of your prayer? Is it just to get and want and get answers? I hope not. I hope it's really to have that special communication with the Lord. Then notice, fifthly, notice the persistence of prayer. The persistence of prayer. Notice the word till. Here's what I got out of this as I wrote this. God answers many prayers. But guess what? Sometimes people give up and they stop praying right before God is getting ready to move. Has that ever happened in your life? Has that ever happened in your life? You pray and pray and pray, and then maybe through not purposeful neglect, but maybe you just begin to forget about it. You've been praying so long for it. And then right before you stop praying, God is getting ready to move. With persistence, without this persistence of praying, a lot of our prayers don't get answered. And so I think of Dinah's grandmother as an illustration. Prayed for years and years and years and years and years. I don't know how many years she prayed that her grandchildren would be saved. And Dinah got saved and I got saved. And then she was praying that God would raise up one of her grandchildren to become a preacher of the gospel. And she didn't even know it. I mean, she perhaps knows in heaven now, but she wasn't alive when Joshua surrendered to preach the gospel. But her persistence, I believe, was what God moved upon my heart for me to be saved and Dinah to be saved and call Joshua into the gospel ministry. Notice number six. Notice the dynamic presence of Christ in prayer. Notice what the Bible says. He comes. The strength that we find in prayer comes from the Holy Spirit's empowering presence with us. He guides us. He strengthens us in our prayer. And the more that we embrace this power of prayer, He will equip us and empower us to pray more effectively. Do you ever think sometimes when you get done praying that didn't seem to be really effective? You don't even know whether it seems or not that you breached the roof of your house. I think oftentimes we feel that way is because we are not being led by the Holy Spirit. He's not guiding us. He's not strengthening us. And we need to embrace the power that we have in prayer. And He'll equip us and empower us really to pray more effectively. And that's what I want to do. I don't want to waste my time when I pray. I want to pray effectively. I want to pray in God's will. I want to pray for those things that God is concerned about, not those things necessarily that I'm concerned about. Notice seven. Notice the abundant answers to prayer. The abundant answers to prayer. Notice what it says. Rains righteousness on you. The rain from God really just symbolizes His favor, His blessings, His strength. We could say His grace and even His mercy and perhaps even the prosperity that comes into our life. Prayer opens the way for God's blessings and help us to receive them with the right attitude. You say, well, Pastor Carol, what's the right attitude as we get an abundant answer to prayer? Well, when God answers our prayer, we ought to be receiving with humbleness. And realize it's not anything that you did. All you did was ask. God is the one that provides. Ask in humbleness. And then, secondly, ask with thanksgiving. And I think sometimes God is all-knowing God because He understands this, that if He answers this prayer, we're not going to be thankful in humbleness. We're not even going to thank him for it. And sometimes we might not receive exactly what we want because God knows we're not going to come to him with humbleness and thanksgiving. Well, as we close, we're standing on the edge of these days of revival. Revival begins Sunday morning all the way through Friday evening. And Hosea's words are ringing with a clarion call to our ears. Notice what it says. It's time to seek the Lord. Understand this. Doesn't mean tomorrow. Doesn't mean next week or next month. Today, right now, this Kaddish prayer meeting is time to seek the Lord. Not when your life slows down, not when you get on vacation, not when you get the big project done, it's right now. It's not when it's more convenient. Listen, it's never going to be more convenient for you to seek the Lord. The Bible says now is the time to seek the Lord. God is calling me. And God is calling you to break up the fallow ground of our hearts, to deal honestly with our sin, to deal honestly with our hardness and stiff-neckedness, distractions in our life. And he's calling us and inviting us to plant his word deep into our hearts. You know, here's the truth. If we'll do the hard work, if we will prepare our hearts for revival, if we'll confront the hindrances in our life, if we'll pray with urgency and focus and persistence, he has promised to come. The Bible uses these words, and to rain righteousness on us. But you see, it's conditional. We have to do the hard work, and then God's blessings will come. You see, revival is just not a meeting on the calendar. We call it a revival meeting. But really, what revival is, it's a movement of our hearts. Our hearts are drawing closer to the Savior than we are right now. It begins when ordinary believers, just like me and just like you, decide that they're no longer going to be content with the dry ground or the fallow ground of their life. No longer are you going to be content with cold prayers and a distant fellowship with God. It begins this way when we say, Lord, whatever it takes, I want you more than anything else in my life. So I want each of us tonight to determine that we'll seek the Lord in these coming days till the revival meeting. We'll seek him with repentant hearts, breaking up that fallow ground. With humble dependence, knowing that, listen, we can't revive ourselves. Brother Barry's coming. He's not going to bring revival. He'll preach revival messages, but that doesn't bring revival. Revival only comes when we break up our fallow hearts and we can't revive ourselves. We're dependent upon God to bring revival. And then lastly, with persistent faith, praying, as the Bible says, till he comes. And if we'll do that, we can trust that God will do what only God can do. And he will visit us again. And he will meet with us again. He will change your hearts. He'll revive your weary heart. He'll restore your broken lives. He'll rain his righteousness on this church, on your family, on you, on this community. And may our testimony at the end of this week be when God has called us to seek him, we didn't delay, and we personally bowed our hearts before God. We lifted up our voices in prayer, and we watched him send his righteousness, or as the Bible says, his reign. Lord, send revival, and let it begin with me. Amen. Father, thank you for this mini message you have laid upon my heart for us today. Father, I pray that we would take this study guide and we would ask ourselves these questions and answer them. We make application to our personal lives, Father, that we truly would be ready. And Father, that these words and the study of your word, Father, will not fall on fallow ground, will not be hearers that don't understand, will not fall in the stony places that hears and begins to grow roots but then fades away. Help us to have, Father, not allow your word to be fallen to the fallowness of our hearts, and the thorns will come, and the cares of this life will choke out the word. Help us, Father, to receive your word in good ground. We hear and understand. And then, Father, the ultimate result of hearing and understanding is that we bear fruit 160 and 30-fold. So, Father, would you bless now the remainder of this prayer meeting? We pray now and ask these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.